Let's pray and then we'll sing a song or two. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house, for each of the families that are represented, for the heads that are bowed in your presence. Please, Lord, work in our hearts and minds. I do miss Frank and Colin, Christine and Christy and Taylor and Esther and Pat and Steve. We do pray your good hand upon all of them, Lord, and pray, Father, for Lord, for you to work in each one, not just of their lives, but our lives as well. Please be one of our number this morning. And please be with our brothers and sisters across the world, especially Lord Stan and Karen, the folks up in Bangor. And Ed and Joan Bissett and the folks out in Temple Patrick. Lord, for the foxes across the water. Lord, for the Isaacsons, for the Smiths, for the Snows. Very especially, Lord, for Pastor Asquith, Pastor Hayne, and the folks, and Pastor Healy, Black Creek and Grace Bible. I know there are many, many more men that are prepared to stand and preach and teach your word, Lord. I pray, Father, for inspiration and protection, Father, for encouragement, for wisdom, and for the words to say. Please work in each one of our hearts and minds at this time, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we still have. We know things are drawn to a close. I pray, Lord, please, that we would shine brighter and brighter. Please, Lord, take this time to shape us and mold us. And Lord, we love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. We're in the Wee Black Books this morning. If you would like to take and turn there to number four. Number four in the Wee Black Books. That is holy, holy, holy.
Thank you.
keep those wee books open and skip forward the number.
This morning's reading is from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit thee nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ hath become of no effect unto you whatsoever. Of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? And ye should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye shall be none other wise men, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. And would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye do not consume, that ye not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of being glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Thank Steve as well. Welcome back there. Yeah.
Definitely.
I always get a bit of a tickle whenever, not whenever I have a sore throat, but whenever I see the readings line up with the thrust of the message as well, that always is like a little bit of the Lord saying, see, you did pick the right one to make notes on for today. Because there's, whenever you stand up here, you have it's a very serious thing that you do whenever you stand up behind the pulpit, because people listen, and people are maybe not depending upon you for physical things, but certainly for spiritual things, and it's important that you do the right thing and consider consider the Lord's leadership and guidance. But I enjoy those verses, those last three or four there. The fruit of the Spirit should be our good memory verses from many years ago. Anyway, thank you for that. I appreciate the Bible readings. Look forward to Will's this evening. Just want to remind you of our prayer requests. We had, please do pray for, we miss Frank, but we know he's doing well because we would have heard otherwise, but we miss him being here. Colin, he's working this morning, so pray for him. We'll see him this evening, the Lord willing. I think we're going to have Christine with us tonight, so please do pray for her as well. Christy will be back in, I think maybe about a week's time. Is he back on Friday coming?
21st.
Friday. Did you say he'd be back on Friday? Did I hear you mention something about previous service? Can somebody mention...
Was it my first prayer list, I think?
Yeah. See, I should read the prayer list sometimes, but I heard someone mention the 21st. Please do pray for Christy as he travels. I'm not sure whether Taylor has her visas and things sorted out yet, so please do pray about that. Please do pray for... it's Paul Thompson, isn't it? Norman's going to visit a friend, work acquaintance friend, Paul Thompson. He's having a very difficult time at the moment. I think he's all been well. He's going to see him tomorrow, so please do pray for that meeting. He's a diamond in the rough, just needs to get saved. So please do pray about that. I'll also ask that Pat and Steve brought three families, the Adams family, the Bonner family, and the Curry family, down in Stevenson's Park and in that area in Drumahoe. Have all lost loved ones this past week and would appreciate prayers for them as well. We would also ask that you would pray for us this weekend coming. We are aiming to actually go down and visit my dad. So that'll be Thursday, Friday and Saturday morning. I wasn't feeling the best last week. Now feeling much better. Appreciate your prayers as well. Please do continue to pray for each other in that regard too. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on, or anybody else we need to bring to our attention? There's a lot going on in the world. Do pray for our country's leaders. They most certainly need it. Britain, America, Russia, China, North Korea, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, goodness, Europe, there's so much going on in this world. Please do pray for our country's leaders. Some of them have lost a lot of credibility, I think our own especially. This country certainly needs a lot of prayer. Who would have thought the country that was instrumental in so many missions outreaches this past couple of hundred years would be in such dire need of Christianity itself, but there you go. Do pray for our town. Do pray for each other. If it was easy to be a Christian and live for the Lord, everyone would be doing it, but it's just not as easy as most people make it out to be. But it's good for you. It's good for the soul. Amen. Lord willing too, we had a management meeting out in the hall there. We'll be starting work on the internals in the hall here and then the entryway at the start of February. I'm not worried about the weather this time, but health permitting, will be kicking off at the start of February. We'll be working on the men's, making that into a disabled bathroom, some work on the internal doors and resheeting the entire inside of the church. We have most of the stuff sitting out the back. We would appreciate your prayers in that regard too. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on? Anybody think of anything else? I can't think of anything else either. That'll work for me. Right, let's have a word of prayer. And Will, would you pray for us, please? And then we'll sing another song or two.
Dear Father, thank you for bringing us safe and secure into your presence today, Lord. We want to Lord. That's our prayers. And we are sure to be accepted inside. We've got some problems. We've got some. Lord, we keep bringing on this one time to your service, Lord. Remember Frank and Dr. Shine, Lord. We're from the Keaton State as well, Lord. We're from Frank's over London. We're from the Keaton and the Copeland. And Lord, from any trouble as well, Lord. We're from Colin as a pastor, Lord. We're from the Keaton State, Lord. Keep him well and safe, Lord. Bring him on to the house next time. Hopefully tonight, Lord. give him safe and well, and bless Charlotte as well, Lord. Save Stephen Collins' job, trouble, Lord, and save his soul also, Lord. We have Christine Taylor's over in the States to live from any trouble, keep him safe and well, Lord. And Miss Robson, and pray for him, and keep him safe, and give him joy and mercy to come back to us in one peace, Lord, as well, Lord. We have Esther and her troubles, and keep her from getting the phone again, help her, our families, Lord, heal her from her pains and her troubles, Lord, and keep her safe and well, Lord. And may we see her face, Lord, in your house next one time as well, Lord. God willing, Lord. With Stephen Pat, we have both of the diabetes healed and made manageable, Lord, and heal them, Lord. We have Stephen St. Janice, stop and give him again attacks, Lord. And Lord, deliver from any trouble and keep him safe as well, Lord. And provide for him and keep him safe and well, Lord. And with John Barfield, help him on his operation, Lord, and may heal him, Lord, and deliver from any trouble and keep him safe as well, Lord. With our land, Lord, give wisdom to your world leaders, Lord, and deliver from any wars, Lord, and stop the Russians from invading Ukraine, Lord. And may there be a mad winter this year, Lord, to stop them from attacking, Lord. And pray for the Ukrainians, deliver from any trouble, Lord, save their souls, and may a massive outpouring of repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ, and save their souls, Lord. Pray for the Jews also, Lord, in their land, Lord, deliver from any troubles from all sides, from aggressive neighbours, Lord, deliver them and save them, and show them the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for them, and sent, Lord, and they come to him in humbleness of spirit, Lord, and come to seek their souls saved, Lord. Pray for the Jews, and bless them also, Lord, and pray for Thy will, Lord, and may we give Mark the words to speak, Lord, and may we respect us in our hearts and our minds and our souls, Lord, this day, and pray for us and keep us. May we praise Thy great and holy name for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Will. Amen. Let's take a wee black hymn books again, if you would. Go to, see, hymn number 29, if you would like to take and turn to there. Hymn number 29, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. We'll remain seated as we see. Hymn number 29. Stand and sing Because He Lives, and then
we just sang it.
Did we?
Yeah.
Why am I still young? Is it Near My God to Me? Did someone?
Let's sing it.
I put in an extra sheet of paper. The only thing I can think of is that maybe I picked it just as a song. That's
that's the reason why I will do it. Near My God to Me, it is then. It's one of the ones that I thought I hadn't sung for a while. Near My God to Me, number 27. That's first and foremost on my mind. We're in Ezekiel 22. We're beginning reading at verse number 23. And sometimes I enjoy the song so much that I just want to sing them again. I don't really. I've completely forgotten that one, that we had just sung it. But they're good songs, and it doesn't hurt to sing them again sometimes.
but not right after, one right after. Amen. Good to be here. Good to see each one of you. Don't forget to pray for our neighbors to the church. Stephen and Anne-Marie especially, they were very good to the church whenever I was ill and wasn't able to man the lawnmower. Do pray for their salvation. For Carol, that's the bungalow on your right-hand side as you leave here again. Carol Diamond and her mom and dad, Marie and Harry. And for our neighbours across the road, Michael and his family, and Jane and Corey, and Norman and Joan as well. And for the farmer, Henry Craig, and his wife Evelyn too, up at this far end. We also distribute CDs to Pearl Hetherington. So please do pray for Pearl. She's in her 80s. Her health isn't what I'm sure what she would like it to be, and sometimes she's not able to get out. And she appreciates hearing your voices, your hymn choices, and sometimes even the sermon as well. So please do pray for her. And Alan Leslie, an old friend of Billy's, please do pray for him. Amen. Ezekiel 22, beginning at verse number 23. And the word of God says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, that's Israel, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening their prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. The priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean, and hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, and have exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Amen. Verse number 26 is going to be our text for this morning. I'm going to spend a little bit of time speaking on the subject of standards, and we'll probably speak on a few other things as well, but that's the main thrust of the service this morning. Standards. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word and for your Son. Thank you for the free gift of everlasting life, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the heads bowed in your presence. And I pray you, Father, for those that couldn't be here. I pray you, Lord, for our neighbours and our countrymen. I pray you, Lord, that you would convict greatly of sin and judgment to come. And, Lord, that souls would be saved. We just thank you for loving us. And we pray you, Lord, to be one of our number here this morning, that you would minister to each one of us. And we ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Ezekiel, sadly, is pretty much around the time of Daniel. And as you know, in the book of Daniel, it describes a time when Israel had really gone to the dogs. And the king of Babylon had come in, and he had ransacked it, took anything and everything that was worth anything, including the young people, and he had brought it all to Babylon. And the Lord had taken Ezekiel, and he had basically laid this all out for them. The saddest thing was, I sought for a man that should make up the hedge. In other words, God was looking for
one man who had a heart to obey him that could plug the holes in the hedge or plug the holes in the knowledge of the people of God, what God wanted for them, what God was going to do if they didn't give themselves a shake and start doing the right thing. But sadly, there wasn't any. And the result of this was, we've heard of Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, in other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we read about the great things that the Lord did for them, but some of the things that you don't know that the world, the flesh, and the devil did to them was that they were put under the charge of the keeper of the eunuchs, which means that they were castrated before they were made servants to the king of Babylon. And people don't think about these things, and people like to think that the Christian life is all lemonade and pink lemonade and tea. It's all roses, and that if you fall into the foil, you're going to be pulled out and there's going to be 2 5-pound salmon in either of your pockets. Sometimes the Christian life and the obeying or following of God's will can be a long path. It can be a lifetime path. Sometimes a lot of it can be uphill, but I guarantee you, Norman and I, I'll give you an example. Norman and I were chatting out the front. Norman was saying how he's not that keen in these days off because he doesn't seem to get anything done, and the end of the day comes very, very quick. But whenever he is busy, the time flies, but you get to the end of the day and you go to your bed satisfied that you've accomplished something. And that's the way the Christian life is. It's not about coming to church. And it's not about singing a few hymns, even twice. The pastor forgets that they've sung it once. And shaking hands and slapping everybody on the shoulder and going home. It's about struggle many times because there is so much of the world against God. It's about having to put literally to force your own Christian values on your own little corner of the world. It can be a battle. And the Lord, even today, these words still ring true. The Lord is looking for people to stand in the gap, to be a Christian when people look around. And sadly, I think we live in the days where it's not a gap we're trying to fill. We're trying to build whole walls at the moment. But the Lord said, is there not anybody here to do this? Is there not someone that's prepared to put a bit of effort, to grit their teeth, to face off against the world, the flesh, and the devil, to stand up whenever people point fingers and call them Holy Joes and things like that? And it's not just a matter of saying, I will. It's not just the rebellion against the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's not just setting yourself against it, but it's also knowing the reason why you set yourself against it. And so we have the word of the Lord to Ezekiel, who wrote it down in the book, and it's been read and studied by millions of Christians in the past 2,500, 3,000 years. And he is speaking about preachers. Doesn't that say, doesn't it mention ministers and priests? There's a conspiracy amongst her prophets. Her priests have violated my laws. Verse number 26. They have basically, it's saying, the priests, the people that are charged with precious souls and making sure those souls are on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. And whilst they're on it, they know what God expects of them. He's saying, they're not doing that. He said they're like lions, they're like wolves. They're looking for a weak link so that they can jump on them and make merchandise, make prey out of them. And that's not the way God's people, and especially not God's preachers, pastors, evangelists are supposed to be. Now, as we were reading through here, I got to thinking about a few of the things that the Lord said, because a lot of these guys say, thus saith the Lord. The Lord has given me a new anointing. many years ago, it was the laughing ministry or something like that. And then a year or two after that, it was the sword ministry, and there were guys that would run up and down the hall with waving a sword above their hands, and this was given from the Lord. And other people were told that they have healing ministries or exorcism ministries in Christian churches. And I know in Christian churches not everyone is a Christian. But whenever you have a job casting evil spirits out of Christians, I am afraid that you have been listening to one of these guys that's doing nothing but making money out of you, making a laugh out of you, wasting your time. And the Bible says about people waiting for the darkness to do their dark deeds because they think the darkness is greater than the dark deeds that they're doing, and God is not going to see it. But I have news for you, friends. God not only sees as well in the darkness as he does in the light, but he knows our every thought, and he knows our every word and deed. And we need to be mindful of this. Sadly, the word that these traitors, and that's what they are, preaching on. Now, before, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean everybody that stands up in the pulpit is sending people to hell. But more people are standing in the pulpit sending people to hell than are standing in the pulpits preaching the gospel. Whenever you have a Presbyterian minister that says you don't need to worry about getting saved, whenever you have a Methodist minister and his wife, so it's creeping its way down, saying that they have the most trouble from born-again Christians, you know that this word of God that was written 2,500 or 3,000 years ago is just as applicable today as it was back then. These things are happening. And they're costing people their lives. I'm going to tell you something here and now. There are ministers standing in pulpits that have accounted for more lives in hell than Hitler ever did. People, when you speak of Hitler, they talk about the purging of the Jews, the 6 million Jews. And Hitler's name is synonymous with wickedness and evil and anti-Christian teaching. But over all the generations, since the Lord went up to heaven, the lies that have been preached from the pulpits have accounted for more souls in hell than those 6 million souls that Hitler committed to the ovens. We ought to be careful. Talks about making merchandise of them. Remember what, and we're just taking Hitler as an example. Do you remember what Hitler did to the Jews in Germany and anywhere else? He took their livelihoods. He took their houses, he took their riches, even took the gold fillings out of their teeth. He was a wicked, wicked man. Sadly, in order to get the church full, preaching, in quotes today, accounts of, or is made up of, stroking people the right way and tickling their ears, and tickle them under the chin and giving them a rub in the belly, telling them everything's okay, and the most important thing in the world is what you feel in your heart. Now, the only people or things that I have a personal experience with, tickling their ears and their bellies and rubbing them the right way, is my cats. And they love their ears being tickled, especially if there's a bit of chicken on the go or a bit of fish on the go. In fact, most times that's the reason they come up for a pet. I think it's to make me feel better, not them feel better. And they love to get their tummies rubbed. But if you rub them the wrong way from the tail to the head, they're not that keen on that. Now you would think that if I always rubbed from the tail to the head, they would point the other direction and get it done right. But even us, we don't like to do that. Cats expect me to change to suit them. And the people in the congregations expect the preacher to please them. That's not what the work of the preacher is about. We have come to the time in the history of man where people's feelings are the most important thing in the world. I remember standing at this radiator, which is on, thankfully. And I remember standing here speaking to a man right here, right at this place. And he said to me, I'm making a decision with my heart. And that young man had a powerful knowledge of the Word of God. He was faithful to every service that he could come to that he wasn't working. And he would go, when he was around the doors, he knew his Bible that well. He could actually contend with any soul about any subject in the Bible. But he met a girl when he was working. And he made the decision with his heart to marry this girl, who belonged to a charismatic church in the town. And he said, we'll come by and visit and we'll have you over for dinner and we can chat about things. And those things never happened. And it wasn't too long after leaving the church, in quotes, that they went to an even more charismatic church that was like so far out there you couldn't even see it with spy binoculars. And before you know it, they were even farther out. And they believed in all sorts of nonsense and drivel. And as long as you put their money on the plate, you were entitled to believe that nonsense and drivel. Until I met this man one day at his dad's funeral. And he said, you know what, Mark? I don't believe that you have to be saved to get to heaven. I believe that everybody's going to heaven. I think that's universalism or some such nonsense. Even my brother that's not saved, he's been pretty good. I think he's going to heaven. And that's what listening to one of these traitors will do. And he is going to tell that to everybody. And everybody that hears him is going to believe, hey, I can do whatever I like and I'm still going to heaven. And it doesn't work that way. You can do whatever you like after you're saved and still go to heaven. But if you're really saved, you won't be doing whatever you like. And the job of the preacher is to warn people that your feelings and the scriptures are not equal. I will believe your feelings, and I will believe the teachings in the church if they line up with the King James Bible. And as soon as you can start telling me what's going to be happening, say next week or next month or next year. And whenever your prophetic statements come true, then I'll start believing you. But until they do, I'm going to believe the Word of God, the same Word of God that stated time and time again what was going to happen in our futures. And guess what? It's happened. The same Word of God that's been there for 2,500, 3,000 years, maybe 4,000 years, that stated Israel was going to become a nation in troubled times, the end of World War II, and that everybody, the maimed, the lame, the sick, the blind, the young and old, would come with dancing in the streets. And that's exactly what happened. And it's said that all those nations that oppose her are going to have difficult times. And that's exactly what happened. Because if you love the Lord as a nation, you're going to love Israel. And the times that people have difficult times is when they depart from God's teaching. Israel happened. Our global communications network has happened. Every eye shall see. Every tongue shall confess. But every eye will see the Lord coming back. We have that. There's so many other things, but this is not a message about prophecy. This is a message about standards. About preaching, about who to believe. If I was to start saying, cutting out all the things that offended people, I'm sure the church would be bigger, but it wouldn't be an honest church. If I was to say things that weren't true so that people would stay and feel comfortable, church would be even bigger, but it wouldn't be an honest church. I can guarantee you I'd probably be struck dead. I wouldn't have survived the sepsis and the pancreatitis and the gallbladder surgery. I wouldn't have made it. God, and it was literally that close. God could just as easily have said, this is my opportunity to get that lying, cheating, thieving devil out of the way, and I will look for a man to raise up to stand in the hedge. But that's the message for today. Whatever's convenient. Oh, but whatever's convenient. Whatever is inoffensive. Whatever is easy on the ears and on the conscience. That's what folks want to hear in church, and they will turn up for that. Even the lostest, most lost of men and women can give themselves a shake on a Sunday morning, wash their faces, jump in the shower, put on a freshly pressed shirt, dress, suit, boots, whatever else, and can grit their teeth for an hour and a half to pay their dues, to tip their cap in the direction of a God that they think is going to save their souls. Even the most lost of people can do that. All the chapels will be filled this morning or last night, and then everyone will be away out carrying on and doing all sorts. And if you say something different, people will say, but that's what you believe. And that's fine. It is what I believe. But it just happens to completely coincide with what the Word of God says. There's a wee verse in John 14. And I said, you'll know it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord said, I am the way. There is only one way to live your life, and that's the way God says. I am the truth. What the Bible says is the truth, and that is the way you're supposed to live your life. And the life, literal life, so many times, the Lord said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. A good and a clean and a holy life, a life that's easy on your body and on your mind. A life that's easy on your soul, a life, more importantly, that is pleasing to God. But people don't want to hear that. Now, there is a charge, many charges in the Bible. Many times in the Word of God it says, I think it was one of Paul's letters to Timothy. He said, if you remind people of all of the things that's in the Word of God, you will be a good preacher of God, a good pastor of God. And it might not make the people happy to be reminded that maybe somebody's doing something wrong, but it pleases the Lord that people are reminded to stay on the straight and the narrow path. And whether you're reminded one way or another, the gospel's a little bit like potatoes. Spuds are spuds. You can chip them, fry them, croquette them, roast them, bake them, cream them, and I'm sure you can do a few other things with them as well. You can shred them, turn them into a very, very nice salad. But they're still potatoes. I remember hearing the story of a wee girl who said, I don't like potatoes. What are you having for your dinner? Fish and chips. Thought you didn't like potatoes. Yeah, anyway. Without me mentioning these things, I am sure a lot of people, depending on your standing with God, depending on how long you've been a saved soul, might never have read these things in the Bible yet. Or maybe you have and you've forgotten about them. But regardless, for the saved soul, without the hearing of God's Word and the studying of God's Word, the Holy Spirit can't bring something to your mind again that was never actually in your mind in the first place. And the lost will never hear unless the full counsel is spoken. I might want to give you a few things. I've picked some of these that they will be controversial, but they're in the Word of God. And I want for you to understand this, that God needs for us to hear these things. And just because they are now politically correct on the most liberal, left-leaning, broadcasting propaganda organization that many people still pay a license for, you actually pay to be propagandized by the BBC, just because they say something else doesn't make it true.
Word of God says, I think it's in Romans 8, says, let God be true and every man a liar. We'll start with one that irks Christians. The Bible says we are supposed to study to show ourselves approved. We are supposed to commit God's word to our hearts, and yet so many of us don't. We think that, man, I had to suffer through 3 hours of that guy's preaching and church services every week, and you want me to read my Bible on top of that? This is the guy that gave his life to save your soul for the endless ages of eternity. This is the guy that gave you not the authority but the freedom to call out to God for your help, who will then dispatch angels to minister to you, who will always have an ear open for you, who prepared for you a mansion in heaven, a new and a glorified body, paid for all your sins to be removed for the endless ages of eternity, prepared for you robes of righteousness, and has given you a straight and narrow path to walk in this life that will keep you right. And you can't be bothered to read and to study and to memorize and to ask questions about the Word of God. What about getting saved? Oh, you, I'm quoting my old Presbyterian minister, you don't have to worry about getting saved. The Bible actually says to make sure of your own salvation. Double check what you have put your faith in, then it's doing its job. Yes, you might get saved and know nothing else other than you are a lost, hell-deserving sinner. But after you get saved, you should go and make sure of everything else in your Christian faith. Put a bit of work into it. What about, and we're just hopping, skipping and jumping. Here's one that's a real killer in this day and age. Making murderers of many people. Living together. A lot of preachers won't address the subject of people living in sin. Or, what do they call it now, common law husbands and wives. Or, if you want to be more trendy, hooking up. And the preacher won't speak about that because he's afraid of people, oh, well, I'm all offended. I'm going to leave because you have dared to mention to me about my immorality. I say, well, that's the whole idea. If you're saved and you're in church and the preacher speaks about something and it irks you and it's in the Bible, what's the words of that wee song? If you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. And are you big enough to say, well, Lord, thank you for bringing that to my attention? Or are you a petty mind little devil that's just been shown that they're wrong and they can't take it? Even though it was God that loved you enough to show you that you were wrong and knows that down the line it will kill you. All those things that the world pretties up and puts a nice label and a bow on, they're still sin to God. They're still going to kill you. It's still counted as adultery or fornication. God says you shouldn't. And we shouldn't. You know, every person that lives together that or has a hookup and there's a child conceived and they decide to get that wee tablet or they decide to go to the abortion clinic, they're marked as a murderer forever. And if they don't get saved, that is counted against them forever. And God doesn't want that. Here's another one. Lost folks are going to hell. And I don't say that and dance a jig and laugh and smile. I say that and pray for the folks, the lost ones that I know, and then the lost ones that I don't know. And then we go out and we preach, and we hand out gospel tracts, and we hand out CDs. We do something about it. And if push comes to shove, when they say, we don't want your free, forever, and for sure gospel, we want a work hard, do the best you can gospel, well, that's fine. That is their choice. But they're still going to hell. It means good Muslims are going to hell. It means good Catholics are going to hell. It means good Presbyterians are going to hell. It means good Methodists are going to hell.
And it means good Church of Ireland folks are going to hell. And it means good Jehovah's Witness, did we do them already? They're going to hell. Good Seventh-day Adventists, good Hindus, good Buddhists. All of these folks are going to hell. And the only ones that's going to heaven are the ones that get down on their hands and knees, regardless whether they were black or white, regardless whether they speak English or some other language, regardless of what church they turned up in. If they don't get saved, they're going to hell. And that salvation is free, whether you were a Muslim, a Jehovah's Witness, a Seventh-day Adventist, a Protestant, or a Catholic. It has to be Jesus first. And if you're trusting in your faith, your religion, or your minister, it's not going to save your soul. I remember a very sad story of a lady, a very, very smart lady, a Church of Ireland lady that I worked with, who was brought to the city hospital in Belfast because she was having a bit of difficulty. And they did some exploratory surgery and they opened her up to have a look and they stitched her back up again because she was riddled with cancer. And they couldn't do a thing for her. And I remember speaking to her and I remember saying to her, Helen, would you like to know, or would you like me to read a little bit of the Bible, or would you like to make sure Jesus Christ is your Savior? She says, no, I don't want that, I'm just waiting for my minister. Unless that wee lady got saved. For her being a good church member. For her being a good contributor to society. A stand-up lady. Unless she chose Christ as her Savior. Sadly, she's in hell today. And so it is with everybody. And the reason I say about Methodists, because Methodists are taught you can lose your salvation and get it again. And that's not the salvation that the Bible speaks about. The Bible speaks about a salvation where you're kept in the palm of God's hand. And nothing and no one, including our own stupid selves, can take us out. This is what the Word of God says. We need to know these things. We need to know that white lies are still lies. And God says you shouldn't do it. It's not a matter of, it's not 50 Shades of Grey, that filthy film that came out that so many people trooped to the cinemas to see. 50 Shades of Sin is still sin. And it doesn't matter if it's a little sin or a great sin, it's still sin, and it's sin in God's eyes. We shouldn't be doing it. Cursing and swearing and taking the Lord's name in vain is forbidden. And we shouldn't be doing that either, no matter what the world says. Lying in your bed on the Lord's Day when you could be out of church, that's still idolatry. Putting anything before God's still idolatry. And I understand that people have to work, and I understand that people can get sick. But don't ever make an excuse to not be coming out and worshiping and praising the Lord. It'll help you, it'll help everybody else be in there. The Word of God also talks about, and I'm just going through the commandments, you might have realized, that being disrespectful to your parents. The Bible says we're supposed to honor our mother and father, but if they are dead set and killing us or ruining us, well then honor them from afar. Remove yourself from them so that they're you can pray for them and not feel like wringing their necks, and maybe vice versa. But the Bible does say, if you honour your mother and father, your days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. A lot of people say, well, just have a good time. God understands. He'll let everything slide. This is what God has to say. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Whether you're saved or lost, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Saved people have the Holy Spirit dwelling there. Lost people don't. But your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And him that defileth it, God will destroy. That's what the Bible says. No drinking. No smoking. No drugs, except those ones that's keeping your heart beating and pumping around your body. Sometimes we need them. But there's a whole lot of stuff we put in our bodies and in our mouths that we certainly do not need. It won't end well for you. Dressing inappropriately. If we dress to draw attention to ourselves, well then people are going to look at us and they're going to say, wow, I wish I was like that, or I wish I had that. That's the way people think. I used to think like that. God says we should be dressed so that people think of our good works. That's literally what it says. It talks about the women not with broided hair or costly array, but as becometh women professing godliness, good works. When people look at us, they should be thinking of our testimonies, of our reputation. Not of our bulging biceps or our shapely thighs, but of our Christian testimony. So beware how you dress. It's important not only for yourself. The only person that you need validation from is God. That's the only person you need. When you get up in the morning, Lord, am I going the right way about the day? Lord, is this the right thing you want for me to do? And I can almost certainly tell you, if God says, I need for you to behave like a Christian today, the world, the flesh, and the devil will say, you do not. But where are we going to be spending the end of the ages of eternity? Are we going to be spending it partying and drinking and having thrills and spills? Or are we going to be spending it not in these bodies? In Revelation 20, it talks about two sorts of people. It talks about John, the saved, overlooking the great white throne of judgment, full of all the dead, small and great. Every single one of whom's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Has anyone here ever fished? When you cast a line, what do? You throw it as far as you can get it. And that's exactly what is going to happen to every soul that rejects Christ as their Savior. Thrown as hard as the angels can, that soul into the lake of fire where they will be tormented forever and ever. And I am not saying it's a good thing, but I think people would be far better in pain rather than thinking about their sins forever and ever. Anyway, when we dress inappropriately, we cause other people to sin, and we should bear that in mind as Christians. You don't have to pray, by the way. God knows everything that's going to happen, and it's going to happen regardless, is a damnable heresy. We are the masters of our own fate, and God has saved our souls, but he's not in charge of our lives. We're in charge of our lives. I could take the head staggers and go down the road and drink a pint of whiskey and drive the car, cause a pile-up on the dual carriageway and kill dozens of people. It's me that goes to jail. It's not the car, and certainly not God. It's me that goes to jail for the rest of my life. Praying is important. Time in God's presence is important. It reminds us who we are. But if you remember when Moses went up into the mountain to spend time in God's presence, he was up there for 40 days. Remember, the children of Israel went bonkers and he had to come down, and thousands of them lost their lives because they just departed from God so quickly. But remember when Moses came down, didn't eat, he didn't drink, he was glowing with just that little bit of reflected glory of God. God sustained him. And when you go to God in prayer, and even by all means have your shopping list prayer. You know what that is, don't you? Oh, or your Barry McGuigan prayer. God bless my mummy and my daddy and my manager and the cat and the dog. If you have that prayer, pray it. But when you're done, just like a little child coming up to you and saying, I have to tell you something that's really, really important, and they have to spill everything that's on their mind, that's good. But you should always put your hand on that little child's shoulder whenever they're done talking and say, now it's my turn to talk. Because God wants to talk back to us. In messages and hymns and scriptures.
God wants to talk back to us. And we should always wait. It's respectful. If I just came up to Ling and I said, Ling, how are you? It's great to speak to you. And I walked on away before she could even speak to me. That would be very bad manners. We stop. Let the other person speak. That's just common courtesy. So why should we not be courteous to the God that gave his life for us here on Calvary 2,000 years ago? Spend time in prayer. That is needful. And it's more needful in these days. It was about, could be 15 years ago, we sent letters to Tesco asking why in a family-orientated store they would have magazines with naked people on the front of them, magazines encouraging homosexuality, all within easy reach of young and old alike. And even some of the ordinary, in quotes, magazines had scantily clad people on them. And what's this supposed to be doing to folks in a family-run store or a store for families? We never got anywhere because they're not a family-run store or a store for families. They're a store that's just there to tick boxes, to please the crowds, and to make money. And the pursuit of money, the love of money, is the root of all evil. It's everywhere. In Tesco's, in Sainsbury's, in Asda. Walk past the paper stand and you have to shield your eyes from the filth. We need prayer. Because we need the power of God. We need the coals raked over and brought back to life in our own hearts and minds. And we need that time in God's presence. I remember reading years and years ago about one of these ministers of years gone by. I can never remember their names. I think the Lord uses that to protect the innocent. That's a joke, by the way. He was in the study, and he was studying in the study, and his little son came in, knocking on the door, and came in, and he said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm not doing that." "No, what do you want?" "I'm in here studying." He said, "Dad, I don't want anything. I just want to be where you are." And that was a great eye-opener, because many times I have rested in God's presence and just listened to the words that he has reminded me of. And it has been a great help, and you, I hope, have benefited of many of the sermons that I have come across and just in God's presence. We need that. And we need to sing good old-fashioned songs. This CCM that's out there at the moment that is nothing more than modern-day brainwashing and meditation, singing the same line over and over again, and people are going like that there. That's no good to anybody. That's only good for the guy at the front who's making merchandise of the people in the pews. We need the songs with the blood of Jesus Christ. We need the songs that remind us that we were sinners and that we can be saved. We need the songs that remind us that no matter where we are in life, God will be there for us and help us. We need those. As Charlotte was saying, I find myself going around the house singing and humming those old songs. Those are the things that we need to sing. And it doesn't matter if you can't sing. Make a noise. Make a joyful noise. And thank the Lord too. Worship him and praise him. But don't forget to say thank you. What is the first thing we teach a child? Thank you. Well, maybe after a whole lot of other words, but thank you. You need to be thankful. Philippians 4 tells us with prayers and supplications and thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Oh, nearly forgot that one. Tithing. There's another one that Christians don't like. Bible says to tithe. That is literally minimum 1/10 off of what you get in a week goes into the plate. God commanded it. It's been happening in the Bible since Abraham was about, so that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the children of Israel in Egypt for 400 years, Moses and his 40 years running through the desert, and then the whole history of Israel, and ever since, God said, tithe. And God's people did. I know people will say, well, I know you've got
You've got house insurance, car insurance, you've tax to pay, national insurance, if the government's a robber. You've got groceries to get, electricity to buy. You have, what else do you pay for? Rates. You've all these things. Just give God what you can. And don't forget to enjoy yourself at the weekend. I'm going to tell you here and now, friends, tithing is the best way to save money. Because you think about the other 90% and you consider whether you're going to, well, I put my 10% in at the start of the week. That means I can't go out drinking on Friday night. Amen. How many sins were just saved from being committed right there? How much money did you just save by not going out drinking? I used to work in a bar. I know what it costs to go out drinking. I was getting £25 a week. I couldn't afford to drink on a Friday night and a Saturday night. I didn't drink. I was making truckloads of money off of people, oh, just buy another drink, and staggering about. And I've only got a couple of pounds left in my pocket, and maybe 10 or 20 pounds in paper fell out. And I'd be picking them up in the morning. I made more in my wages, oftentimes just cleaning in the morning, for foolish people that wasted fortunes. God says, whenever you tithe, you think, right, Lord, here's my 10%. You should be, I'm looking forward to seeing what you do with the other 90%. What bargains, what savings, what things I end up not needing. Because you have put your hand in those things, Lord. Not only that, but I want to obey you, and I want to do the right thing. That's the way we should be looking at it. Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver, doesn't it? Doesn't he? But it says in Malachi chapter 3, for all those that refuse to tithe, will a man rob God? That's what it says. Will a man rob God? And you say, how can we rob you, God? Wherein have we robbed you? And the Bible says in tithes and offerings. People don't like that. I normally don't like to leave with that. I don't like to finish with it either. But those are the things that we're to be reminded of. And if we are keeping ourselves right with God, we're not going to be chasing other people's wives or husbands. We're not going to be doing drugs and drink. We'll be considering our own families. We'll be considering what God wants for us with our own families. And keeping busy, as Norman said earlier on, you get stuff done, you're happy at the end of the day. You're right with God, you can sleep peacefully in your bed at night. Whole bunch of other stuff that goes about loving your husband and your wife, treating them right, looking after your kids. Can't expect your kids to behave in church if they don't behave at home, so start teaching them at home. This is what the Bible says, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Friends, it doesn't matter what other people say. When people say to follow your heart, you know what the Bible says? It says in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Why would you listen to that? There is days whenever, over the past 2 years, many long days, whenever I was up on a mountaintop and I felt like I could conquer the world. But then there was other days when I was in the deepest, darkest valleys and I just wished that the ground would open up and I would go home to heaven. Why would I depend upon my heart to live my life? And so regardless of whether my heart was high or low, I read the word of God and did it. Sometimes I was happy to do it, other times I had to grit my teeth and do it, but I made a point of doing it. Because in the long run it's best for us. It's the only set of rules that gives everybody a fair shake. The Lord said, and we're talking about standards, in Isaiah 59, and then we'll be done because I think I've rambled it on long enough. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Is that right? Rises in the east, sets in the west. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against them. That's not quite the standard that we're talking about, but that's what we need to strive for. To live our lives
that please God. And how will you know what pleases God? When you read in his love letter to you what he wants for you to know. Thank you for your good time. I'm going to cut bait there. And we'll have a wee song, and then we will have prayer, and we will be dismissed. If anybody has one and willing to entertain it, if not, you can get there before. Do you have one?
11.
11 on the blackboard. Do you have one, Mrs. Bradford? We can sing yours this evening. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you. Recess and dinners and teas and fellowship. Pray, enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. Well, would you dismiss the meeting for us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the message, Lord. Bless up and store up in our minds and our hearts and our bodies, Lord, and our souls, Lord. Make us better servants of thee, Lord. We're for Abdul Brown, Lord. We're for the people that listen to this ministry, for the CD ministry, Lord. We're for them all, also be a blessing to them and to their lives as well, Lord. We're for family members, keep them safe and well, Lord. Save those that are lost, Lord, and bring them to the full glory of God for the salvation and for salvation. And Lord, pray for us as we go home to our homes, Lord, for lunch, Lord, bless us as well, Lord, to the journey of mercies, and with us a brother, Lord.